Standby 1. Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to this week's Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio, kicking things off in a big way in our two best ofs. You know, over the holidays, last week was Jason Ellis. This week, it's my good friend, Vicky Golden. We like to throw down some of our best interviews of the year that, you may have missed along the way. And right now, we are bringing back Vicky Golden, who you want to talk about one of the baddest chicks to ever ride a motorcycle. That is her. Stoked to have Vicky on the show. Did this one earlier this year. You know, she was involved with, Nitro Circus, racing, Evil Live. She's done a little bit of everything, and I think you guys are going to enjoyed this one. So if you're tuning in on iTunes, make sure and hit that subscribe button. And if you haven't already, please leave a rating 1 through 5 stars. Won't tell you how to rate me, but please leave one anyways. And if you do take the time to leave a review, if you leave a Twitter, Instagram at username in the body of the review, when I see it, I will follow you back on social media. Speaking of social media, it's at JimBeaver15. If you want to give me a follow, and I may give you a follow back over there as well. So before we get to Vicky Golden, though, got to tell you about a couple of our amazing partners. And you know what? We got some massive stuff happening in the NFL right now, and we've been doing something called the Sportsnet Challenge. You can follow along at hashtag Sportsnet Challenge, Pro Football Pick'em Contest, and each week I'm giving out $500 if I win the Pick'em Contest amongst the Podcast One hosts. So, giving away $500, five lucky winners, if I am the winner, are going to take home $100 apiece. Happened twice so far this year. Maybe it will happen even more. We'll just have to see. And, if you want to follow along, though, it's hashtag Sportsnet Challenge. And it's all tied in with our good friends at betonline.ag. And, the playoffs have arrived. It's wild card weekend, and every play, every possession is on the line. Also, college football. Bowl games continue with some of the annual's biggest classic games taking place on New Year's Day. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, Podcast One, betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account. Make sure and use that promo code PODCAST1. It's going to net you a 50% sign-up bonus. NFL wild card. You know what? It is massive. I am pulling for the Minnesota Vikings. You know, my wife, she's from Minnesota. She's a Vikings fan. I don't know. You think they got a good shot? I don't know. We'll have to see. They're going to have their hands full with the Saints. I think the Patriots, they may steamroll out of the AFC right into the Super Bowl. We'll just have to see how things play out. But it is definitely massive. Speaking of massive, college football, bowl games, Outback Bowl, Minnesota at Auburn, Citrus Bowl. We got Michigan at Bama, Rose Bowl, Oregon. Oregon and Wisconsin, huge Rose Bowl. I mean, that is the biggest football game of the year, hands down, in college football. Don't care what you say about these new championship games, Rose Bowl, it's where it's at. Also got Sugar Bowl, Georgia and Baylor, another huge one. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget, use that promo code PODCAST1. It's going to get you a 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. And you know, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you. But please stay with me. Just 15 minutes, you listening right now, you can be saving 15% or more on car insurance. This company, they've been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company's name, it's Geico. Go to geico.com today, and sorry for all the numbers, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. And you know what? You are in time right here for a best of interview with Vicky Golden. Well, I'd like to welcome one of my guests this week to the show, Vicky Golden, who, I guess you were solid gold this past weekend, Evil Live 2. But Vicky, finally, welcome to the show. I know we've known each other for a while. We've pinged each other and tried to get you on. Sometimes you're in another country and literally finally able to make it happen. So my apologies for taking this long to get you on air.
Oh, no worries. Stoked to finally make it happen. Better late than never, right?
Yeah. Well, and good reason. Obviously, Evil Live 2 happened in this past weekend. You are a new world record holder. Man, take us through the build-up to this, because I know, you know, Axel, with everything that happened to him, I know, you know, this was kind of supposed to be a two-part deal where you did your thing, Axel did his, and then, like, all of a sudden he goes down with injury, and, you know, we're all thankful he's all right, but, like, you became, like, the focal point all of a sudden. It was, like, 100% spotlight on Vicky.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I was I was actually pretty happy doing this alongside Axel. We were having a blast doing, like, you know, all the media, all the training, you know, everything we pretty much did together. So, you know, you kind of just create that team bond of how everything goes down, you know. So with him getting hurt, especially so last minute, to where, yeah, it just, at first it was, you know, I talked with him a little bit and I was like, you know what, I'll wait. Like, I'll wait until you're healthy and we can do this. And he just said, no, like, go do it. Like, you know, you never know what could happen. So just, if you're healthy, go do it. So that's kind of what it turned into. And then, yeah, it just became, yeah, so it was just a show for my world record. So it definitely added a lot of pressure very quickly.
Yeah. Well, and do you think, like, you know, and obviously, like, we know from action sports and racing, like, you get opportunities, and like Axel said, no, go and do it, show must go on. And I mean, you were willing to wait, and I, you know, I kind of know you as a person, and that's just kind of your personality, you know what I mean? You're kind of selfless, but I know in, like, action sports, I mean, once in a while there's the perfect storm and there's these opportunities, and we all think, like, oh yeah, well, you know, we can go back and do this a year later. Well, you know, technically you can, but you know what I mean, to have live TV and everything lined up, I mean, you know, it's one of those, like, you almost feel, you know, was there pressure like, hey, I really do need to go through with this anyways?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my first priority was, you know, when all this went down, is Axel okay? And then the next thing is how bad is it and how long would we have to wait if we did this together? And then obviously Axel said that. So then it went into, okay, you know, like, let's, you know, we have so many people. It's not just me and Axel riding our bikes. It's a whole entire team. I mean, his sponsors were doing so much. My sponsors were doing so much. So it just came down to, like, there's just too much invested and we're kind of past the point of no return. And, you know, I couldn't do that to, you know, all of my sponsors and risk me not being able to ride, or, you know, we're both getting ready for X Games coming up too. So there's always a possibility of me getting injured. So it was just kind of that, you know what, we have too much into this to not go at all. So, you know, pushing the risk of not even having a show at all. So, yeah, we just kind of had to move forward and make it happen.
Well, and how did all this, like, how did this whole brainchild, I've spent enough time around Travis. I think the first time you and I met was in Las Vegas when Travis and Jolene were there. But just the time I've spent around Travis, like, I know him, like, I'll throw some wild hair idea out there and he immediately looks at you like, hey, if you want to do this, let's do it. You know, and that's just his style.
For sure.
And I'm like, I don't know if I'm quite ready for that, Travis. Let's pump the brakes here. Let me go through the thought process. Like, no, if you bring it up, it's got to happen. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. Was that kind of where this was, or how did this whole, you know what I mean, this whole world record thing, how did it all get brought to the surface?
First of all, if you're around Trav and have ideas, you keep your mouth shut, because that's the safest thing to do. But secondly, yeah, it was, I actually had ideas. I knew that they kind of had things, well, I thought they had things in place already for Evil Eyes 2. And I just came to Nitro and said, I have some ideas for Evil Eyes 3. You know, if we can make these happen, cool. If not, you know, maybe go down a different road or whatnot. And a few weeks later, they came back and said, you know, we loved your ideas for possibly Evil Eyes 3. What about this for Evil Eyes 2? And it was the firewall record. So, of course, you know, I jumped on it. I mean, that was, you know, I was thinking down the road already, and they came back with something, you know, immediately. So, you know me, I'm down for a good time, and the firewall record seemed like a good time.
Yeah, well, and is there any point, like, you know, and I know, like, people watching on TV, like, you know what I mean, and stuff like that, like, I can't even comprehend going through 13, you know, walls on fire. And I started looking, I mean, those are legit, you know, it's not like you were, you know, blasting through, like, paper walls or something. I mean, like, there's a lot that goes into this. You know, granted, you're not jumping, you know, 300 feet or something like that, but I mean, like, there's some really, you know, heavy consequences with something like that. I gotta think, just like keeping your head up and like keeping straight had to been, you know, that was an accomplishment in itself. Like, I mean, you know, how did you prepare for something like this? Because it is kind of out of the box. It's not something like you practice, you know, it's just like you don't, you know, you just kind of go and do it. Like, I know they showed you busting through one wall, but I mean, how do you prepare for something like this?
Yeah, I mean, it was something hard for me to wrap my head around the danger part. I mean, because I was like, wait, I'm not jumping anything? Because, you know, obviously, like, everything that I do, I know the consequences because I'm high up in the air. So for this, I'm like, well, you know, I'm just going to be on the ground. Like, how hard can it be? And then we quickly realized that, yeah, once you throw fire into the mix, it makes things, you know, you know the danger of it. So once the fire came into play, yeah, it changed everything. I did maybe five walls with no fire, and I could see, you know, I didn't really struggle too bad. And as soon as we started lighting them on fire, yeah, it made things a bit more challenging, just because the fire, one, you have the heat, get hot spots on your body. And then what we didn't realize fast was all the smoke and the heat that was getting into my helmet so fast. I was like three walls in and my eyes would start to burn. So yeah, just a lot of things with fire that it seems obvious, but when you're trying stuff like this, you don't really think about it. So yeah, we kind of found a handful of things that we had to figure out how to change and alter. And it kind of came down to the wire of doing it like 2 days before the show.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, like, when you start going through there, obviously you've got to, it's a long distance. Like, you got to take a breath at some point. Do you hold your breath as long as possible before you take a breath type of thing?
Basically, I mean, that's what they told me. They said you cannot breathe while you're in there. So if you need to take a breath before, or you can chance it and take a breath right before you hit your next wall, that's like the safest point to breathe. Because as soon as you go through it, the fire stays with you, kind of in a, like a whirlpool almost. So yeah. It stays with you and then dissipates while it, right before you hit the next wall, it dissipates enough to where you could take a breath. But, it was about, I think, 500 feet long is what we kind of set it at.
Yeah.
So at first I was nervous, but then I kind of went back to my racing background and I'm like, well, you know, I did these minute lap times in Supercross and I'm pretty sure I held my breath the entire time. So I'm like, I think I got it. I think, you know, I think we'll be all right.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that, but I didn't think there's probably points in the race car when it's intense and you're getting ready to make a pass and things like that, where you're not even thinking about breathing. And I swear, you know, now that you mentioned that, I'm like, there's probably times in a race car where I hold my breath for, you know, for a minute or something like that. And you don't even realize it just because things are in the moment, you know? So you put it in perspective like that. I'm like, yeah, probably truth right there. Like hard truth.
Yeah, exactly. So, like before, because I've got, you know, basically zero airflow into my helmet, and I'm wearing a hood over my face, so there wasn't much that I couldn't breathe. Like, so sitting there waiting to go, I was literally like hyperventilating and trying not to like pass out because there's zero airflow in my helmet. And then I'm like, as soon as I got going, I just didn't even notice. But yeah, just same deal, once you get in the moment, it's you don't even think about it.
Yeah. Well, and I noticed, like, when you got done, like, the first thing, it wasn't celebrate, it wasn't anything. It was like, get the helmet off. I need this thing off my head.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't have any airflow, and they had a strict policy that, you know, as soon as I stop, we make sure that, you know, obviously the fire is the most important thing. So they wanted to make sure I didn't have any hot spots. I didn't burn my lungs, didn't take in any smoke or anything like that. So safety was the priority there. So once we did all the safety checks, then I was good to celebrate.
Yeah. So I know you'd mentioned, you know, it's funny because you're like, it's hard to keep track of you. And I know at one point we were trying, I think like last year, to get you on for an interview or something. And you were like, I can't remember, it was Australia or New Zealand. You were traveling somewhere and all over the place, but you're already mentioning X Games, you know, and I think we're like only a couple weeks out from X. Like, you're just bam, bam, on to the next thing. Like, you know, X Games coming up. We got to talk about that. I mean, what disciplines are you in? I obviously whip again, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I got invited for best whip this year, and I'm first alternate for step up right now.
Nice, nice. Step up that one. I know I've talked with Renner at length, and he's like, that's one you don't even train for. He's like, I just go in and do it every year, because he's like, you're just going to hurt yourself if you train for it. He's like, seriously. He's like, it's just,
yeah,
he's
sure.
like, it's so painful. He's like, that's the one event I absolutely love doing. And he's like, I absolutely hate doing it at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had much experience at it. I did the one and done X Games step up qualifier they had right before I qualified for my first Supercross, and I did that the night before, and I'd never have done it before. Showed up on my 450 that I wasn't riding at all. I just sat there and loaded it up and went over to, I think it was the New Orleans Stadium, and started, like, that was my first and only attempt at it, and I ended up being really good at it, and I almost qualified. Just had a bad mistake where I cross-threaded up the face and almost missed the entire landing, but that pretty much took me out of there. But I felt good on it, and that was only one day, so I think we're gonna practice a little bit. But I think it's to the point where that Renner Biden no practice, show up and send it is kind of, unfortunately, it's out the window. I mean, you see Renner's actually building a step up lift to practice.
Yeah.
McNeil has a step up lift and he's practicing. You know, I think that show up and send it is about out the window, and I don't think that's going to work anymore. So you have to come prepared. I mean, these dudes mean business. They're ready to send it. And yeah, so I mean, I never want to get hurt because someone got hurt, but yeah, so hopefully I can, you know, something happens. Maybe at least someone just missed their flight or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so I don't know. I'm gonna practice for it and just stay sidelined if that's the case. You know, I still have the best whips, so I'm totally happy to go there and just throw some whips and have a relaxed kind of weekend there instead of you throw a step up into it and it's just everything gets very stressful. So I'm kind of okay being on the bubble, so I don't really have to like think about it too much. I already know how to throw a whip, so then it comes down to just a couple weeks of riding with everyone, having fun, throwing some whips, and then showing up, and it's a little bit more relaxed, whether all the other categories are pretty stressful.
Yeah, well, and with whip, like, is there ever a point when you've thrown one of those? Because I swear sometimes, like, I start watching that on X Games and I'm like, you guys go so far, I'm like, there's no way you're going to bring it back. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, like, it just comes back, you know, but it almost looks like you're full on like 180 or something, you know. It's like, how do you, I mean, something like that, is that like kind of the process? Like, let's take this as far as we possibly can. And then, you know, and then try and bring it back at the last second, because you guys are pushing those things so far to win that competition, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, there definitely have been dudes, and it sounds crazy to say, like, crashing, and the trick you crashed on was a whip, and that's, like, pretty unheard of, especially in our game when there's so many other tricks. But these guys are sending it, and that's pretty much what it comes down to, is, like, you're trying to hold it, you know, backwards, upside down, as long as you can, and then bring it back last minute. So that's kind of what it turns into, but it's almost like any other trick, especially when you're practicing, is that you just try and keep scaring yourself into that point to where it's not scary anymore. And then that becomes your natural, you know, whip. And that's kind of the same thing with tricks that I'm learning for the first time, even where I don't want to do something because it's scary and I don't like it, but I do it enough. And then, you know, you're just, that's your new norm. So that's kind of the same thing with whip, is we're just trying to huck ourselves as big as possible and scare ourselves as many times as we can, so when we show up, our whips are big enough for a medal. So it's pretty much what happens.
Well, and do you feel like, one thing I've always, like, I love about what you've done, and I mean, I've tried to do it in the off-road space, but, like, I feel like you put yourself out there, you know, and whether it be, you know, you've raced Supercross and Moto and Arena Cross, and, you know, obviously you've got freestyle and you've done some flat tracking. I mean, do you try and put yourself, like, out of your comfort zone in, like, these different disciplines? Just, one, it keeps riding a bike interesting, I'm sure, but, like, two, like, I feel like you probably got to be learning something every time you kind of take yourself out of your element, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what this sport's all about, is just making sure that you're at the top of your game. And the only way to be at the top of your game is to, once again, just keep scaring yourself, because that's the only way you're going to get better.
Yeah. Well, you know, all that being said, like, obviously, I know, you know, I think, you know, really kind of the first time I'd heard about you for a long time, but really took notice of when you were trying to qualify in there at Supercross. But you know what I mean? Now you've kind of gone, and I know you're doing some touring and things like that. I mean, you know, moving forward, I mean, you know, you've got all these opportunities. I'm assuming now the talk is already Evil Live 3. What are we going to get Vicky to do this next time? You know, like where are you kind of happy? I mean, where do you want to go with this? Are you just kind of happy, you know, kind of picking and choosing here and there and going all over the place?
I mean, I'm pretty happy. I mean, after such a terrible year last year of being on the couch day in and day out of just sitting with an ankle injury that I wasn't sure was going to be even good enough to ride a dirt bike again, to go into this year and have complete 3 tours, stay healthy, get invited to X, be able to do this for Evil Live 2. And it just, you know, so many things are clicking off and just, you know, it's like the year I wanted to have last year, and I had all these ideas last year, all the things that I wanted to do, and I just don't know if I'd even be able to do them. So it's just kind of, I'm glad I'm picking up where I left off, and I'm ready for whatever gets thrown at me. I definitely have plenty more ideas for world's first, world records, and, you know, we're just, we're going to keep chasing as long as I'm healthy.
Yeah, well, and, you know, talking about touring and stuff like that, I mean, I got to think, like, when you're on tour and you're hitting that same ramp, like, night after night, you know, week after week, you know, is that really where, like, you know, you get to really start experimenting, you know what I mean? So you get so comfortable in the setup and things like that, you know, is that where you really kind of start, you know, pushing things because you're hitting it, it's repetition, right, time after time? Is that really where you start getting innovative?
It's actually kind of the opposite, just because we only get a maybe like 30-minute practice before the show starts, and then the show is pretty much choreographed start to finish. So you do all the tricks, you know, it's already kind of set out in the tricks you're going to do for the night. So there's not really any time to better yourself. It's actually harder when you're on tour to better yourself and practice and do it that way because you're just so limited on the time. So it's actually really, really hard to progress in that state. But I made it a goal this last tour to try and learn a new trick almost every weekend, and pretty much did that either if it was the week leading up to it or even the practice before the show. I just went quickly through the tricks I knew I had to do in the show, and then I would go into learning a new trick instead. So I was pretty stoked on unable to just be able to learn a new trick each weekend because it's so hard when we're just really limited on ramp time and bike time even.
Yeah. Well, and I got to ask, you know, obviously, you know, you're just killing it on two wheels, but I'm looking at like most of the FMX guys and, you know, I would say girls, but that like consists of you and Jolene. But, you know, it's one of those, like, I've seen everybody kind of move to four wheels a bit too and start playing Travis. I mean, I brought Jolene into some Razor stuff and, you know, Deegan, he's moved into, you know, four wheels and various different disciplines and stuff like that. Is there like an itch on your part to like, hey, I would like to go and do something in one of these Razors or something like that?
No, absolutely. I'm down for anything that's supposed to be sketchy and dangerous and and a good time. So whatever it is, I'll probably be down for it. I haven't really spent much time on four wheels, so it definitely is an avenue I haven't taken. But I didn't really spend much time on street motorcycles either. And now, you know, I've done flat track and then this. So, you know, there's always an opportunity for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the first time you're on a flat track bike, because I've never actually ridden one. I mean, I've been on plenty of dirt bikes and stuff and, you know, and street bikes. But, like, when you went and did flat track, I mean, was that, like, completely out of your element? Or is there a lot of dirt bike stuff that transitions into that? You know what I mean? Or was that one of those, like, oh, I got to relearn everything I knew?
It's kind of tough. I feel like, you know, you need bike skill, but it's, flat track is a lot different. One, they take off the front brake, and I'm big on front brake. So that's like the first big sketchy part is I just didn't have a front brake. So, and then just trusting this beast of a motorcycle to pitch it sideways. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And it's tough for me too, just to do all that flat track stuff because I just don't have, from my injury, I don't have much feeling in the bottom of my foot. So, like, rear brake is pretty foreign to me now because I don't know how much I'm on it or if I'm on it at all. So that kind of makes things a lot difficult for me just because I don't know. And I'm still making mistakes with that. A couple times I've caught myself kind of dragging on the front brake off the ramp and not knowing it until last minute and kind of having to quickly like get off of it and kind of gas a bit more. So yeah, there's just sketchy points in it for me, but it's still fun. I'm still smiling ear to ear with, you know, just even whatever puts me on a motorcycle, I'm stoked to be on it.
Yeah, you're just like, I just want to ride. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I don't care what I look like, what I'm doing. I just I'm having fun on a dirt bike no matter what it is or what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, I got to ask too. I went on your Instagram profile real quick before we jumped on. Did you see like a massive spike over that whole TV deal, like in Instagram followers this past weekend or what? Like I looked and I don't know what yours was before, but I'm like, damn, Vicky's got a legit following on Instagram.
Yeah, all of a sudden it spiked out pretty quick. I was blown away. I'm super humble. I love, if you can tell on my Instagram, all I post about is dirt bikes because that's literally all I do is that's what I have the most fun on. And that's what my life is surrounded on. So yeah, I don't even notice that part of it, but that was pretty crazy to just watch it spike within a day. I think I got maybe like 10,000 for the day or something, which is pretty unheard of. And even like the buildup before it, it was just climbing like 1,000 a day. It was crazy. So, I mean, it's just really cool to see how many people in the industry and even outside our industry, which is our main goal for Action Sports, is to get it into the real world. And that's the best part about Evil Eyes and Evil Eyes 2 is it's putting Action Sports into the real world, which is so hard to do these days. And that's where we want to take it. And, you know, with history and Nitro and Trav being on board with all of this, is that's what we get to do is bring our sport into the real world.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing I really like about what you did with the firewall, because I think like people can't comprehend really, like they see the distances of jumps, you know, but I don't think they really can comprehend what it's like to jump that far. I know I can't, you know what I mean? Like I've jumped off-road trucks a ways, but I think with that, like people saw the boards, they know how thick they are. They know what it would feel like to run into a wall. They know how hot fire is. You know, and then for you to do it 13 times, like, I think it put it into perspective. Like, people could appreciate what you did because I feel like that's one of those few stunts where people could actually put themselves in your shoes and kind of know what you were going through, you know? And I don't feel like with jumps they can. I felt like with that, though, people understood it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think, if anything, our industry maybe wouldn't understand it as much because they're like, oh, well, you're not jumping. It's not... You know, and that's how I was when I first started doing it. I'm like, I'm not jumping anything. Like, how is this supposed to be cool? How is this supposed to be exciting and dangerous? And I didn't exactly wrap my head around it until, you know, you put it in that perspective to where this, we're not doing this for the moto industry. We're doing this for the world. And the world doesn't understand, like you said, how what it feels like to jump over 300 feet. It's a feeling that you have to do it yourself. Like even when I jump a 120 ramp, it feels like the thing has no pop. So it's even hard for me to put myself in actual shoes because I can't even imagine how flat that ramp feels to go that far. So yeah, it's just, that's what I think that our industry had a hard time wrapping their head around was the danger. And they think it's easy because we're not jumping, but when you put it in the perspective of the entire world, and that's what we're aiming to do. And that's what I think came across is because it's super relatable. In all my interviews, I was like, well, if you're doing like renovations at your house and you wanted to go through one of your drywalls, you know, go ahead first. And that's kind of what it'd feel like. So then they can kind of relate. And that's kind of what I think the industry and the real world gap is. But, you know, everyone's, you know, from Nitro saying the ratings are coming in now and it's looking great. So the whole goal out of this was to hopefully continue and hopefully come back for next year for an Evil Eyes 3. So that's our biggest goal, of course, is to keep being able to break these records and do it for the entire world.
Yeah. Well, and I know me as a fan, the thing that has me excited, and I know, you know, knowing Travis really well and like – what blows me away is you can do these things, and it's like, now you're going to do Evil Eye 3, so it's like everything has to be stepped up a notch. And then that's what, like, blows my mind. It's like, all right, so we're doing this. Like, what's next? You know, and there's always got to be a what's next, because you've got to one-up yourself every single time. And it's like, to me, it just blows my mind, because I have no idea what Evil Eye 3 is going to be, but I know it's going to be off the chain.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we don't have anything set in stone for an Evil Eye 3, but knowing us, that we're going to try and make it happen no matter what we can do, whether we, you know, have it on TV or not. Hopefully we do. I'm sure we'll continue with history. But yeah, I'm excited to hopefully get together with everyone and throw some more ideas around and see what we can do to just keep this ball rolling and to keep these records from, you know, setting this bar as high as we can.
Yeah. So one last question before we let you go, Vicky. I know, like, in the back of your mind, you've always had, like, this unicorn trick, like, at some point you want to pull. Like, is there anything now where it's like, all right, so we've done this Evil Eye 3. Like, I've got, you know, Best Whip coming up, but I really want to put some time in and learn something, maybe make a trip to Trav's house out in Maryland. Like, is there that unicorn trick? You don't have to tell me what it is, but is there, like, something in the back of your brain where you're just like, yeah, at some point I need to learn this and blow everybody's minds?
Oh man, I have at least 5 in my head.
Oh.
I have a lot of ideas that I want to do. And originally I was going to fly home from New Zealand before I knew about Evil Eye 2. I was going to fly home and get to work and have this. I was planning to do it all within these couple months. But with Evil Eye 2, obviously the first rule was don't get hurt. So
yeah.
That kind of put that to the side. So yeah, we're going to just kind of get to work and see what we can bust out and see how many world firsts we can get by the end of the year, I guess.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time, Vicky. Always fun catching up. And I don't know, we got to circle back at some point. Maybe I'll get Jolene out of, like, Razor retirement and get you out, and we need to go, like, run an off-road race together or something like that. We got to get you behind the wheel in some kind of desert car.
Absolutely. I'm not very good, probably. I'll probably break a lot of stuff, but we'll have a good time.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is we'll get you up to Dirtfish beforehand, like we did with Jolene, and then you can spend some time in rally cars, and then we'll get you in the Razor.
That'd probably be a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe teach me some stuff before I break all your stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, always fun, Vicky. Thank you, and congrats. Congrats on the massive weekend there with Evil Eye 2.
What's up, Brian Deegan here. I'm excited to bring you our podcast, The Deegans, that will be every Wednesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. We'll be covering many subjects such as racing, family, how we stay together, how we thrive as a family. So I think it's exciting. We're going to cover all those subjects and many more.
Be sure you guys check out our new podcast, The Deegans, airing every Wednesday on Podcast One and on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.